The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
This is FMR.
Good afternoon, Cape Town. Wednesday, the 5th of November, you're listening to Cape Diary on Fine Music Radio. I'm Rian Portas, and Mzu Maketa is keeping everything sounding beautiful this afternoon. Spring's really settling in now, isn't it? And with the warmer weather comes this wonderful energy, cultural energy. So much is happening around our city. Today's show, let me tell you, is all about collaboration, musicians coming together, artists and poets sharing space, tour guides opening doors that are usually closed. We're starting with something quite monumental. Damian Philander and Conroy Scott joins us about Mendelssohn's Elijah, the new apostolic church choir performing with the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. Wow, that is happening in just under 2 weeks. Then Andrew Ingram from NSRI, because summer's coming, which means beaches and holidays, but also currents and risks. Important stuff to know before you pack that cooler bag. Sungree Lee and Josie McClure are here to tell us about Novo Duo, saxophone and piano, tomorrow night. Music that doesn't get performed nearly enough in South Africa. Kate Briggs dropped by with her cultural connect tours. Behind the scenes at the archives, architectural secrets on Adderley Street. Wow, I love what Kate does, showing us our own city in completely new ways. And then we'll wrap up with something rather special at Stonehurst Guesthouse. Jan Ludik's hosting an art soiree, Philanel on piano, poetry, wine, the courtyard, and wow, that gorgeous bougainvillea backdrop. Right, let's dive in.
101.3 FM. This is Fine Music Radio.
Damian Philander and Conroy Scott are with me now. Damian's conducting, Conroy's singing bass. And what they're bringing together on the 16th of November sounds absolutely spectacular. The new Apostolic Church Cape Town Choir, the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra, Mendelssohn's Elijah. Wow. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ian, for having us.
Damian, let's start with you. How did this collaboration come together? The church choir, the CPO. Wow, what a partnership.
A partnership. It really is an amazing partnership. Let's start there. So we usually have a collaboration of sort once per year.
Okay.
It was a thought which was approved by our head of music, John Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And we then sent this proposal through to CPO, which they gracefully accepted.
Nice.
And, of course, we thoroughly enjoy working with this orchestra. I mean, there's so much for our members to learn from them with the quality of playing.
Mm.
We really enjoy working with them as well. So there's a lot for us to learn, too.
Yeah. It's such a good place. Listen, Conroy, you're singing bass alongside some serious vocal talent. Tell us about the solo lineup.
Well, so obviously, doing the soprano, we've got Linnell Kennett, who I'm sure most people would know. Then for the mezzo, we've got Danielle Speckman, who, along with Jason Atherton doing the tenor and myself, all of us work for Captain Opera.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the first time, I think, that the four of us actually sing together as a quartet, as an ensemble.
Uh-huh.
We've all worked together on separate occasions,
different
combinations of the four, but it'll be the first time that we're actually all doing something together as
sharing
a quartet
the stage
and
together,
to do the Elijah, which is very special as well.
Such a good piece. So Damian, Elijah isn't exactly light listening. What makes Mendelssohn's treatment of the story so powerful?
It's just so special, man, because, you know, Mendelssohn gives us a prophet who's incredibly human. So Elijah is, you know, strong and faithful, but also struggles deeply with fear and despair. The music captures that whole emotional journey, you know, from the Mount of Carmel to his quiet moments in the wilderness. It's just dramatic, but at the same time, deeply spiritual, very deeply spiritual, which I find our choir members really connect with. So that's really special for us.
Magic. Conroy, you're a house soloist with the Cape Town Opera. Mm-hmm. You also play double bass with orchestras. Does that instrumental background change how you approach singing with the CPO?
It really does. Damien and I were speaking about it earlier. You know, as a singer that plays in an orchestra as well, it's sort of a cheat code. Firstly, because and the orchestras do appreciate it as well.
Okay.
Because orchestras react in certain ways and vice versa. Singers who act in certain ways do things that the orchestra does.
Yes.
So finding that middle ground is very important, and Damon as a conductor will be able to back that up. So as a singer that plays in the orchestra as well, you know, you inherently you know how orchestras should act. You know what to focus on.
Yeah.
You know what it feels like
both
in
sides,
that mass of either side, whether that be the chorus or the orchestra. There is this inherent connection that you have with the orchestra. And to me, that as a singer, that is very, very important,
yeah, it must
especially
be so
with
helpful.
Music like this. It's helpful, yes, but it is it becomes more an emotional thing. It becomes more an intellectual thing almost, because there are certain things that goes along with it.
You know,
that connection that you have inherently with the orchestra as a singer. You know, there's
You're experiencing it as the orchestra and as the singer.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. So, Damien, you've conducted quite a range of ensembles. What's special about working with a church choir that has this kind of commitment?
I can tell you for sure, there's absolutely nothing in this world that compares to working with a group from our church. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to work with this group. You know, their dedication is on another level. All of these singers are volunteers. You know, they give up their evenings, their weekends, their time with their families. And that's all to rehearse because they genuinely love the music, number one, but most importantly, their love for serving through this music is what stands out for me. You know, just that sense of devotion, which translates into something very moving.
So powerful.
For the performance. Yeah.
Stunning. So the Silvertown Auditorium in Athlone. Conroy, do you know the venue? What can you tell us about it?
I do know it very, very well. Basically grew up there. Look, being the apostolic myself, as Damon said, there is something very special about this performance. You know, you grow up, especially someone of my age, you grow up having heard this music played all the years. Your parents would have sung it.
Yes.
You would have sung it over the years. So getting back to being able to do it with the church choir, it's very special. Because Silvertown as a venue has changed quite a lot over the years.
All right.
I mean, the organ was redone or overhauled a number of years ago. The seating was changed a while ago to concert seating as well. The altar has changed as well. So at the push of a button, the altar drops.
Wow.
And it becomes a full-on performance stage as well. But there is also, I think, the spiritual part that goes with that, especially considering the work that we are doing. Mendelssohn's Elijah. As Damon said, it's about the prophet Elijah, who, very strong man, but yet very flawed, very fragile, very afraid, you know. And having all that in a venue like Silvertown, which has a rich history, not only in our church, but culturally as well, musically as well, that makes it all the more special. And the orchestra has played there, the Philharmonic Orchestra has played there so many times over the years as well, and they've always enjoyed working with our church choir because there is this musical bond, if I could put it that way, which is always evident when we have that collaboration.
Wow. So what can audiences expect when they walk in? I mean, this is drama devotion. This is Mendelssohn at its finest. What can they expect?
Like Damien said and like you said now, a lot of drama.
Yeah.
A lot of it. I mean, it tells us the story about the prophet Elijah, you know, and Baal, and the perfect moment sums it all up is when he says, "It is enough, O Lord, now take away my life." Because as a man, yes, he's a prophet, but as a man, he's had enough. You know, he's kept on praying for help. He's kept on praying for help, and it seemingly doesn't come. And he is a very flawed character, which makes the drama all the more interesting, because there's the angel,
definitely
there's
being
Ahab,
the human element to it as well.
Yeah.
And I think the way Mendelssohn composed it, is he makes that human connection. And that is why music like this always has such a profound effect on people listening to it or performing it, because it is a human story. It's filled with human emotion, drive, and drama. And that is what makes it so special.
And it's all themes that still speak, you know, very powerfully to today's life and what people are going through today. Just listening to that and actually reading into the story, you know, it's really leading to the love for your faith and understanding of your faith.
And things we need to hear now.
Yes. Yeah. It is always relevant.
Yeah, it's very powerful messages now and always.
Yep.
Thank you both. Mendelssohn's Elijah is Sunday, 16th November at 4 o'clock at the Silvertown Auditorium on Durand Road in Athlone. Tickets are through Cricket at 100 Rand each. And remember, parking is secured at the venue. This sounds absolutely monumental. Good luck with this magnificent collaboration. Thank you for coming in, guys.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Andrew Ingram joins me now. He's the NSRI Communications Manager. And Andrew, summer's coming, which means holidays, beaches, and unfortunately, rip currents. Welcome.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Andrew, let's talk about these pink rescue boys. They're bright pink, hard to miss. What are they?
Yeah, indeed. So they are called public flotation or emergency flotation devices. And the idea for them came about after a tragic drowning of a 41-year-old father who tried to go in and rescue his daughter in a rip current at Glentana. And tragically, he drowned and the little girl survived. And that's such a common story. You have what we call a failed peer rescue. Often it's an older man who tries to go and help somebody, often a younger woman or a family member, in difficulty in the water. And if they had flotation with them, they would probably survive. So we started rolling Pink Rescue Boys out in 2017, November 2017. And to date, we've recorded 223 successful rescues that we know of, which is just awesome. So it proves if you need to help somebody and you go into the water with flotation, assuming that you're a reasonable swimmer, you and the person you're trying to help will survive. If you go in without flotation, we don't know.
So someone's in trouble in the water. I see a pink rescue boy. What do I actually do?
So I think that the most important thing in rescue, whether you're trained or not, is that your own safety comes first. So on the Pink Rescue Boy sign is emergency telephone numbers. So if you're alone, you phone that number, which goes through to the NSRI Emergency Operations Center. And then if you feel that you're a strong enough swimmer and you're able to help, you go in.
Okay.
Often what happens, though, is it's two people walking on a beach. Very often it's a man and a woman. And the woman will phone for help and the man will go in. I mean, that's really generalization, but it happens quite regularly. So it's very important to call for help. We will then dispatch rescue to come and help because once you've got flotation to the person in difficulty, they're safe. So if it's very dangerous surf and so on, you can just float out to the back line because you know that your partner on the beach has phoned for help and so on. Yeah.
Excellent. So rip currents, honestly, I think most people don't really understand them. Can you explain?
Yeah, so rip currents are an interesting one. And in fact, we've started to refer to them as dangerous currents because rip currents it kind of sounds difficult and fancy, and it's not. It's very simple. So if you think of a rip current or a dangerous current as a current that's like a river of water that flows away from the beach, and it's completely logical how it happens. So one wave comes into the beach, another wave comes in behind it, and another wave comes in behind it, and you've got all this water coming and pushing up the beach, and somehow that water needs to get back out to sea. So it moves along the front of the beach and it looks for an easy place where it can get back out to the sea to make another wave to come in. So that forms a rip current channel, and that water then flows out, and it can flow very, very fast away from the beach. It's absolutely terrifying if you get into a rip current and you don't understand what's happening.
Shucks. So if I'm caught in a rip, what's the one thing I should absolutely not do?
So definitely the most important thing is not to panic. And I must tell you that that's very easy to say and not so easy to do. When you feel yourself being pulled away from the beach at such a pace, even if you understand that a rip current is like a river of water, and if you want to get out of a river of water, you don't swim upstream or downstream, you swim to the banks. So a rip current is exactly the same. You'll swim at 90 degrees to the angle that you're being pulled. So you'll swim out of the river of water, and generally that'll be onto a sandbank.
Mm.
It's very interesting watching. We have a number of videos of people who have been caught in rips, and we've put ourselves in the rips to film it. Once you swim out of that rip current channel, you can very often stand up on the sandbank.
Wow.
Yeah. It's that shallow. And
meters away from the danger.
And that's the story of drowning, really. If people understand very basic things like how to float and what's happening to them, they won't panic and they won't drown.
I can't float. I've tried. Only my stomach gets to float.
Well, as long as your stomach's sticking out the water,
I've tried floating. No. Anyway, these boys are at specific beaches. How did you decide where they go?
So, there are a number of ways of doing it. Initially, we ran it out on the areas that we know are the most dangerous. So speaking to each of our sea rescue stations around the coast and on inland, down inland dams and rivers as well, we found sponsorship and we put them up. I think that's one of the most amazing things with this program is that probably 99% of those boys are sponsored. So it costs 2,000 Rand for the pole and the boy, and you could donate one and put your name on it or your company's name on it. So it's cost Sea Rescue very little, or if anything, for all of those amazing lives to have been saved. So after we get advice from Sea Rescue stations, sometimes a sponsor will say, I often go and swim at Dangers Beach, so I would like to sponsor one for Dangers. So that's the two ways that
and it's
really
working,
happens.
It's growing.
It works fantastically. And it has such good support from the community now.
So summer holidays are arriving and families are visiting from inland. What would be your main message to them?
So I think that through your questions, you've hit the nail on the head. It's if you're going to the coast, rip currents are very hard to see and understand. And lifeguards are ocean people and they understand rip currents. Mm. And you want to avoid a rip current at all costs. So choose a beach where their lifeguards are on duty and swim between their flags.
I respect them, yeah. So you're at NSRI stations right along our coast. What are you seeing already as the weather warms up?
Well, people are starting to go down to the beaches, and already rip current rescues are happening. But I think that the weather needs to do a little bit more warming up, and the holidays are starting. The end of exams are a really dangerous time. So I think that our real request to people out there is – please don't drink alcohol when you go to the beach. That's like super important.
Okay.
Don't
swim with
alcohol.
I'm not asking that question next. I was going to ask if that's okay, but no.
So it's not okay.
Okay.
So, choose a beach where lifeguards are on duty. Don't drink alcohol. You don't drink and drive, I hope. Mm. So please don't drink and swim.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's such a bad risk in the water. So just random for people to know, are there particular beaches that you tell more dangerous than others?
So it's those with rip currents, and that's the big danger. So, for example, around the city of Cape Town, there are a number of beaches that have really dangerous rip currents.
Okay.
But we have a fantastic lifeguarding community here from the clubs, as well as the professional City of Cape Town lifeguards. And then there's the Garden Route, where tourists flock to, and many South Africans go to during the holidays.
Mm.
And the Garden Route, in fact, all the way up to Richards Bay and St. Lucia, are epic rip currents. They're big, they're wide, they're powerful. So it's so important to choose a beach where lifeguards are duty.
That's
and just
that's
don't
the
swim.
Answer, yeah. If there's no lifeguard, just don't take a risk.
Absolutely.
That's
don't,
the answer.
Don't swim. Don't go deeper than your knees.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Andrew, thank you. Really important information for us to consider as we head into summer. If you see someone in trouble in the water, call 112 or use those pink rescue buoys. Don't become a victim yourself trying to help. Stay safe out there, everyone. Thank you for coming in, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Cheers.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Singri Lee and Josie McClure are here. Nova Duo, that's what they call themselves, saxophone and piano. And tomorrow night they're performing at 6 Spin Street. Ladies, lovely to have you both. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's lovely to be here today.
Nice. Singri and Josie, Nova Duo formed in 2021. How did you two discover you had this musical chemistry?
It started off during my undergrad studies at Stellenbosch, mm-hmm. where one of my module was accompany instrumentalist.
Find a friend.
Yes. And and then that's how we kind of like started off, and then we kind of somehow...
No, we just kind of clicked. I don't know. Yeah. We kind of shared the same energy when we played together, so yeah.
Tell us about the energy. What did you name it?
What did we name the energy?
Kind of energy.
Novo Duo. No. I don't know. It was just kind of this connectedness, you know, like a friendship and collaboration, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. So saxophone and piano isn't the most common chamber music combination. What drew you to it?
Well, I'm a classical saxophonist, mm-hmm. and I am obsessed with it. And in this country, it's a very underperformed genre, if you'll call it. So kind of I approach we approach each other, and yeah, we just kind of realize that there's kind of this gap, you know. And yeah, it's just sad, actually. It needs to be performed more. So
yeah, when you play it, it sounds beautiful, so why not?
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So the program tomorrow night, you say that these are works rarely performed in South Africa. What will we hear?
The concert is on Friday night.
Friday. Close to tomorrow, Friday.
Yes.
So the works are rarely performed. What will we hear that is rare?
Rare, I guess.
I mean, anything to do with saxophone and piano, I think, is rather rare in this country. So, yeah, we have a program. Would you like to talk about the program?
So we decided, because it's not so much performed, we thought of including a very standard classical saxophone repertoire to kind of introduce the audiences, Cape Town audiences, to this
combination
music that we're playing. It's quite... The music is also quite challenging at the... Sometimes very challenging.
It is very challenging.
And then somehow
yes.
we also added, because of that, we also added something a little bit more easy listening to. Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
It definitely helps.
Like a palate cleanser.
Yes. So Josie, as a pianist working with a wind instrument, how does that change your playing compared to, say, accompanying a singer?
Me accompanying a singer?
Yeah. Aren't you a pianist normally?
No, sing's the pianist. I'm the saxophonist.
Oh, I've got this the wrong way around.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So having a, being a pianist, is it different accompanying another instrument as opposed to a singer?
I wouldn't say so, but the saxophone creates a very big volume into the venue. So it's, with the voice, it's much more, I need to kind of level it down so that
the voice
people
shines.
Can, exactly. But this one, I can play.
Yeah, because this
I
one
need
gets loud.
To play. Yes.
Yes. Very powerful.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, Singri, not actually. Josie, you're on saxophone.
Yes.
So, that's quite a versatile instrument, classical and jazz.
Yes.
Where does tomorrow night's program sit?
Definitely classical, but I would say we have a lot of, like, crossover genres into jazz and rock and improvisation and kind of impressionism.
As far as like ragtime.
Yeah, ragtime.
Okay, so it's going to be a bit of everything, actually.
Yeah.
An hour-long concert, at Sixpence Street. That's an intimate venue, isn't it? What can you tell us about the venue?
It's quite a beautiful space.
It's a very beautiful space.
And the acoustic is good.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
So we thought of, because it's such a beautiful venue, and this is our first concert in Cape Town, so we thought of approaching Spin Street to open kind of
and make CMAC as well. Yeah.
So I've got a question here for both of you, which was, where did you train? But you're both from Stellenbosch. What has happened since? What have you been up to? Where have you played?
So after I graduated, I worked with Cape Town Opera as a young artist pianist.
Okay.
So I've been into kind of introduced to operatic as well as musical theatre. I did My Fair Lady last year, until this year, at the beginning of this year. So I've been doing that, and then after that, I've been freelancing.
Okay, and Josie, what have you been up to?
So I finished my master's at Stellenbosch, and then I had this dream to study abroad, and I managed to make that happen. So I've been living and studying in the Netherlands for the last 3 years at the Royal Conservatory of The Hague with Lars Niederstrasser and Ralph Heckema. And and then my visa expired. No, it's okay. I love my country, so it's nice to be back. So I got back a few months ago, and just...
Now we can take Nova Duo on tour.
Yes.
Excellent. So tell me, what's been the most challenging piece you'd say you've tackled together?
Oh, I would say probably the Fuzzy Bird Sonata. But now we kind of, I don't know,
but I
we
guess
understand
I think it's
it
like the
together.
I would say the most audience easy listening piece, mm-hmm. which is Fantasia Brillante. It's an arrangement for Bizet's Carmen.
Yeah, uh-huh. like variations uh-huh. on themes.
That was yeah. quite challenging.
Yes. Okay.
But it was.
And more than challenging, what about excitement? What are you most excited to perform? Same one?
Yes, that a bit of everything. I love Fuzzy Bird.
I love me too. Yeah. Yes, Bird, that is.
Yeah, but everything we kind of chosen, we both really like, I would say. Yes. It has high energy. Yes.
Awesome. And where do you see yourself going next? What's next for Nova Duo?
We have some concerts planned for next year. Yeah, and I think now we're just going to kind of sit down and plan projects.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're busy applying for festivals and
commission some new work for saxophone and piano.
Yeah,
we've actually done quite a lot of that. Yeah. Actually, one of our projects was working with South African composers, okay. and we premiered like 5 works in one evening, and we're planning more of that.
And will there be any premiered at this performance?
No, not
on
this
Friday.
Not this performance on Friday.
All right. Okay. Cool.
But definitely in the foreseeable future.
Excellent. Thank you both. Nova Duo performs Friday, November 7th at 7 o'clock at Sixpence Street in the city. This sounds like a really special evening. Ladies, is there anything else you'd like to share with
us? Yes, we just want to say a special thanks to Ian Burgess-Simpsons for lending us a Shigeru Kawai grand piano.
Wow.
It will be delivered today at Spin Street for
exciting.
Us to... Yes, which we are very grateful
for. I guess you'll be leaving from here there. To go wait for your piano? What time does it deliver?
Oh, it's getting delivered today, but we get to play on it tomorrow.
Yeah, you're not going to go check that it arrives safely.
No.
Okay, cool. Well, ladies, this does sound like a really special evening. Some unique repertoire and an intimate venue. Best of luck to you both.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
101.3 FM. This is Fine Music Radio.
Kate Briggs is back with us. Cultural Connect, those brilliant tours she curates around Cape Town. Behind-the-scenes access, expert guides, and hidden stories. Kate, always a pleasure.
Great to be here.
So, Kate, you've got quite a lineup coming up. Let's start with the Adderley Street Architectural Tour on the 15th. What's special about Adderley Street?
Well, it's the nearest Cape Town gets to a high street, and it's full of incredible firsts and changes. You may have heard that the Golden Acre, called because mm-hmm. it was so valuable in terms of real estate, has just been bought, and so that's going to be redeveloped. And, of
exciting.
Course, way back in the 1700s, it was little Amsterdam with the canals, and, in fact, Cape Town's first known store is known to be on there 1664. So it's the first private trading site.
Okay. Wow, that is some interesting stuff. And then on the 21st, behind the scenes at the archives on Rulon Street, the former prison. Tell us about that.
Yes. So this is the most amazing resource. It's absolutely phenomenal. So there are 45 kilometer as of shelves, if you put all the shelves out. So that's the distance to, say, Somerset West.
Yeah.
And so anybody can use this free resource. People wanting to find out about family history or about where they live. And researchers come from around the world. And so what's special about this tour, which, as you say, is on Friday the 21st, and it's going to be repeated on the 30th. Of January is that we go behind the scenes. So usually you go to the reading room, you don't necessarily need an appointment, but this is when we go behind the scenes. And what is absolutely amazing is that we see the original material. So we see the note that was written in a bottle that so it's incredible what was saved. You know, we see some of the very tragic side of South African history, like the slave records and about forced removals, and then things like the signatures of Van Riebeek. And there's no glass in between. And it's beautifully managed. And the archives is actually going to shut for building work at the beginning of next year. So these two tours will be one of the last opportunities to go behind the scenes for a while.
Okay, cool. And then there's the Mount Nelson tours on Wednesdays from 5 to 6 in the evening. That's quite a specific time slot. Why?
Because it's after the afternoon tea. You know, they're famous for their afternoon teas.
Yes.
And so now there's the opportunity to book not only your tea on a Wednesday, but also a tour afterwards.
Okay.
So I've been doing this exclusively for guests for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And they decided to open it up because friends would say, oh, Kate, I want to come on your tour. And I'm saying, really sorry. You have to spend the night. And there's so many stories. And you won't believe it. The highlight is the laundry. There is this iron that is about three meters long. So it makes the towels, well, not the towels, the sheets and the pillow slips and everything. It's that crisp.
So it freshens at once.
Yeah. And then also what a highlight of the tour, though I do talk a lot about the history, we go to all different parts of the hotel, is the kitchen.
Okay.
And there are over 100 chefs who work at the Manor. It's quite a factory.
And is this tour for residents or is this now for anyone?
So now it's not just for people staying in the hotel, it's for people who book on that Wednesday afternoon tea.
So I have a tea, have a
tour. Yeah, and you book on Dine Plan for that. Mm-hmm. And then for the archive tour and Brett McDougall's retail, you do that with me direct.
Okay.
Either from my website, but better to email me at kate@cultureconnectsa.com or WhatsApp.
Excellent. And the phone number 0723778014. Excellent. So you bring an expert for these tours, like Brett McDougall for the architecture. Who else?
Yes. But just on that note with Brett, he's written, along with Sean Gaylard, an amazing book, RSA 365. And as far as I know, it's the only book about South African architecture. So for each day, there's another drawing and Brett did the writing.
Nice.
And so he'll be bringing it to the tour and giving a special price and get it signed. And he recently moved from Gauteng to Muizenberg, and he now chairs the Muizenberg Heritage. So he's doing a tour for Culture Connect there, just of the Muizenberg village, on the 10th of January. And then at the archive, Helen Johannides is taking us round. And she's in charge of outreach and, again, has incredible knowledge, stories, and passion.
Mm. It's good to use people with all this passion. Mm. So some of these places aren't normally open to the public. How do you get this access?
Oh, it depends. A lot of things in life. Mm. So with the Mount Nelson, I've been working with them for about 10 years. And initially doing tours for their guests around the city. And then they decided to enhance what they offered to guests and introduced all sorts from a boot camp to these history tours, because a lot of people book into the hotel because of its phenomenal history. And so I said, taking on the job, people want to go behind the scenes, and hence...
Excellent. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for organizing it. So your tours often end with participants sharing a meal together. How did you start this social element?
Oh, it's for me important. It's a sort of closure, and then it's the connect bit. So people who have a shared interest, say, in Art Deco architecture or in contemporary art can chat. Or I can't go without lunch, for instance. So, you know, usually it's quite hungry learning and walking.
Needs to
happen. So, and it's very nice also to small businesses.
Okay,
So after Brett's, we'll go to La Bottessa in Church Square.
Lovely. They would like that. So for someone who's lived in Cape Town their whole life, why should they take one of your tours?
Because you learn about the incredible variety and things that have happened, good and bad. Mm. And so for, say, an architectural tour, it's easy just to walk and not look up. And you can see, like, carvings of African animals. You can see
so much when you look up.
Yeah, exactly. And then the former Reserve Bank. It's now the Taj Hotel. If you look up, you see DHK's modern extension above. And things are happening the whole time. So there's often new street art and murals. And I feel there's a great civic pride. So there are people always trying to improve Cape Town.
Mm. Kate, did I touch on everything you'd like to share? Or is there something else you'd like to share?
I just want to share what a great radio station this is and how I love listening. And sometimes I get a bit nervous doing tours, but I put on that classical music and it's sort of calm in chaos.
Calm in the chaos.
Yeah, I don't know if I should repeat my name.
So I shall, in closing. Yeah. Give us your email. I don't have
okay.
that.
Okay, so it's kate@cultureconnectsa.com. It's important to put the SA for South Africa because there are other culture connects.
Ah, there's another one. Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Kate. So the Adderley Street Architecture Tour is Friday the 15th November. The Archives Behind the Scenes is Thursday, 21 November. And Mount Nelson tours every Wednesday from 5 to 6. You can check cultureconnectsa.com for bookings or WhatsApp Kate on 072-377-8014. That is 072-377-8014.
Yeah, that'd be lovely to see you on Saturday the 15th for Brett's tour around Adderley Street, and then with Helen on Friday the 21st or the 30th of January.
And then this book lying here would be on a good price on the tour,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It looks like a wonderful book.
For the tours in town, I'm offering listeners a special price of 200 rand.
200 rand.
Head.
Excellent. This is a brilliant way to see Cape Town, guys. I recommend you join Kate. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Kate. Thanks for joining us.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Jan Ludik and Phila Null joins me now. Stonehurst Guest House in Sea Point this Friday evening. Art, poetry, piano, wine. That courtyard with a bougainvillea sounds absolutely lovely. Gentlemen, welcome. Just to correct, it is Saturday, the 8th of November. Welcome, gentlemen.
From 6.
Good afternoon.
Jan, you're hosting this at Stonehurst. What made you decide to create these art soirees?
I wonder why myself, but I'm an artist and Phila is a student at the music school. And so he's playing the piano, but all you know, I love art. I love music. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the old members of Fine Music Radio, one of the first founders. So I love classical music and it works so well. Mm. And we've always had a piano there.
Okay.
And it's amazing. You find it's so many guests that come there and play on the piano.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, one of the guys had to come and fix the internet and you start playing it.
Yes, you never know.
This is it. So I always find it's a wonderful thing to socialize the piano. And I love classical music and that's it.
Mm, thank you so much. So, Phila, you're doing your honors in piano performance at UCT. What will you play on Friday?
It's actually Saturday afternoon at 6. I'm going to be playing Franz Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2, which I'm also playing next Tuesday at the A.B. de Villiers Piano Competition in the Baxter.
Good luck with that.
Thank you very much. And we have been organizing these exhibitions since 2020. Mm-hmm. And just as a means of getting people outside, it's in a courtyard, it's an open space, and there's sort of this terrific bougainvillea in the backdrop.
Yes, there is.
And so I moved the piano, I had it tuned, and it's an 100-year-old piano, so please don't expect this perfectly tuned Steinway. We're not there yet, but it has this nostalgic feel. And I've had singers there, I've had violinists play. I played with Mikhail, this famous violinist, and it was marvelous. And so we're creating this space for people to just have fun and listen to music and see beautiful art by Jan Ludik. He's been painting since the 50s. I mean, with Walter Badgett. I mean, this is a legend. And so to see these paintings, and I also work with a poet called Melissa, so I would play and she would read poetry and I improvise. And there's no space for improvisation really anywhere in this country. It's such a weird thing. People in the classical music especially, I've asked many people and no one will teach because it doesn't exist. Mm. It exists in jazz, but not really in classical because it's such a... I mean, people would improvise Baroque like Handel and sort of put in improvisations there, but nearer to now, So I love to play in the moment and to improvise, and that's such fun.
Speaking about Melissa as the poet, how does the spoken word fit with the visual art and the piano?
So... each is an art form on its own, but with the music and the art connects together because it's spoken, and then the visual, you can see, hear, and feel it at the same time. So that's sort of the connection. Mm. I mean, we do she has written poetry, and then I would hear it fresh when she reads it. So it's sort of pre-planned. And I'm also opening up the floor. There's a famous poet called Yangaji. He hosts many poetry evenings in Cape Town, so he's coming, and I invited some other poets, so it's not just one. And I'm bringing a guitarist, and so we're going to be improvising with these poets while they read. And so it's not just one. There are many poets, actually, seven or eight.
Okay, cool.
And also a book reading by Shirley Chiara Cantor. She wrote a beautiful book recently, and I asked her to just read a small extract. So it's sort of many literature, many sort of types of different things. So it's not just one item.
Okay. Yeah. Jan, you're exhibiting art. Any of your own work and others?
Yeah. We've got, I've got quite a big selection of different artists.
Okay.
And so we put up as much as I can in a couple of mine. At the moment, I work big, about 2 meters square.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll fill up half the space.
Okay.
But there's room for some others. So, there'll be quite a selection of art. Yeah.
Exciting. So this starts at 6 and it runs until 8:15. What's the flow of the evening going to look like?
All right, so I've asked Yanga to MC, and so we'll invite people into the courtyard. They'll have a seat, there'll be a glass of wine and some snacks, and then I'm going to be starting with the piano. I'll play the list and be like, okay, let's get this out of the way. and then I'm going to be inviting Melissa, the main poet, and then I'm going to be opening up the floor for the other poets. And then I also have an accordion, so
nice.
I'm going to be sort of just alternating between piano and accordion. 8:15 is just sort of a time, like cut-off time for the main performances, but obviously we will be continuing and we're not chasing anyone away.
Yes, as long as the music goes.
Yes.
So, Phila, performing in that courtyard setting rather than a concert hall, how does that change your approach?
Actually, it's more intimate. Chopin famously loved playing in parlors when he played nocturnes at night.
Okay.
And you'll also notice Beethoven also wrote for, his orchestra wasn't really ever meant to be that big. He actually wrote for chamber, for smaller settings. And so going back 100 or 200 years, you'll notice that in performances, people historically didn't shush when they went to theater. They had a marvelous time. They had a drink. Mm. They talked to their friend Jan. They had a fabulous time. So I wanted to create that intimate space where it's not so formal. Like you have to keep quiet and you're not allowed to applaud. This is South Africa. Os klap is os wil. So, no, I like, and bringing together many cultures. We're such a multicultural nation, actually. Mm. And everybody has something different to bring to the table. So I have decided to do that. Bring people together from all over. Talk as much as you like. I mean, when I perform, I would like you to just like tone it down a little. But if you want to talk to your friend and take a picture, and that's it, really. So it's a social event with music. It's not a musical event to shush and be formal.
Okay. Yes. The complimentary wine is going to make sure it's a social event.
Obviously. Yes, and you can bring your own
That's
wine.
That's one thing in stoners. I'm a wine lover, so I've got a good selection of good wine, really. Yes. We don't drink box wine.
Awesome. So, Jan, do you think this will become a regular event at Stoners?
We've hosted how many over the years? Fred has been with us 4 years.
How long five. This five. Is our 10th one.
Excellent. Wow, a decade.
We've had many occasions. And we've also had 3 weddings there, you know, which is quite something. And because the space is so nice. And if the weather is good, it's absolutely fantastic.
It's going to be sunny.
It overflows down the passage. We've got a staircase and things like that. So we've had functions with over 100 people. But, of course, that was not seating. That's standing.
Okay.
But if we take the tables out of the courtyard, put some chairs down, so we probably can seat 30 people, and the rest must stand.
So, Phila, what pieces are you most excited to perform?
I'm playing some of my own compositions also that I composed for a film, but, you know, $20 million doesn't fall out of the sky, so it's yet to be published. And also, they took it off the internet because you must have to pay. So some of my compositions are sort of just in my mind. It's no way. So it's nice to perform that. So I wrote some themes for the film, like Giuliano's theme and Carmelita's theme, where I took the characters of the film and I wrote especially for them. And I also wrote some music when I was in China. So it's sort of the inspiration I took from the East. And so it will be a combination of the one piece that I'm preparing, my own, and then improvising. When I improvise with the poet, it is sort of this ebb and flow, call and response. And so you have to very listen carefully. Where's the highs and where's the lows? Where can you have more freedom? Mm. And where do you have to slow down? Because the voice is such a very sensitive thing, and you have to be so careful not to overwhelm her. But to rather let her shine and let the music take you on a journey.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Stoner's Guest House Art Soiree is this Saturday at 8 November, 6 o'clock till 8:15 on 3 Frere Road in 3 Anchor Bay. Tickets are R100. Contact Jan Ludik on 082-500-4899. Poetry, piano, art, wine in that beautiful courtyard. What a way to spend a Friday evening. Fila, Jan, anything else you'd like to share?
Saturday.
Oh, wow. And I spent all my Fridays over. I left one.
We a preview on Friday.
Saturday, guys. So maybe go for a preview on Friday and have some drinks. But the official show is Saturday. Thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Really appreciate it. And it's very kind of you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say this is the best radio station. And we play it all day long in our guest house. And all the guests always compliment the quality of the music. So thank you so much. You guys are doing important work. Thank you.
From Mendelssohn's Monumental Elijah to life-saving Pink Rescue Boys, from saxophone and piano rarities to architectural secrets and art soirees, Damien and Conroy got us excited about that magnificent collaboration on the 16th, the new Apostolic Church Choir with a Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. That's going to be something really special. Andrew reminded us to be smart as summer approaches. Those Pink Rescue Boys could really save a life, maybe yours, maybe someone you love. Know where they are, know how rip currents work. Singri and Josie are bringing us music we don't nearly hear enough. Sixpin Street, contemporary works for saxophone and piano. Support live music, people. Kate's opening doors, literally, to parts of Cape Town most of us never see. The archives, the architecture, those Wednesday evenings at the Mount Nelson. She shows us there's always something more to discover in our own city. And Jan and Fila created this beautiful evening of art and music at Stonehurst. That courtyard, the Bougainvillea, poetry, piano and wine. Friday evening sorted. Remember, if you've got an event, send details to diary at fmr at least 2 weeks ahead, please. We love hearing from you. That is diary at fmr.co.za. Cape Diary, that's us, is Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays all at noon right here on Fine Music Radio. And later on today, you can catch the podcast on our website. Coming up next is In the Mood with Anati Godlu. I'm Rian Portas. Have a wonderful afternoon. FMR.